Absolutely spontaneous. I never done before this quick podcast. Usually I was preparing, but what the hell? It's next to me, this setup for podcast. I think why we have to chat with text with Harold, and why I cannot do it just via voice. So that's what, here we go. That's what we are doing. This is 21st century. Harold is in Norway, new friend. I don't know anything about him except his name. The same story on his side. He knows only my name. I just introduced myself. I'm in Canada. What part of Norway? I'm in Canada, in Alberta, province of Alberta. It's western part of Canada. Where are you, Harold?
I'm living in Oslo.
Oh,
yeah.
All right, I see. Excellent. So the bridge between Canada and Norway on Ukrainian subject. It's a second day after elections in Ukraine. I see Harold somehow follows the subject, right? Are you following elections in Ukraine?
I have some problems with the quality of the sound, so please repeat.
All right. Excellent on my side. I repeat.
Something about the election. What did you say?
Mm-hmm. Harold, you also probably will have problem with my accent. I still have the Ukrainian accent, right?
Yeah, I hear your accent, but I think the main problem is my speaker.
Okay. All right. So, okay, I repeat question. No problem. It's second day after the elections in Ukraine, and I believe...
Yeah.
You found me, you added me to friends in one of the topics, under one of topics dedicated to the elections. Am I correct? How you found me?
To be frank, I don't remember.
You don't even remember.
I added one or two friends every day,
right.
Particularly these days. My main activity, you might say, is about the election, or it's about Ukraine, and in particular these last few weeks coming up to the election has been more concentration on the election. It has been very interesting.
Mm-hmm. You like politics? I mean, you like elections, politics. Are you professional in it or just like the subject? What's your interest to Ukraine, for example? Why? Because for me, it's natural. I'm from Ukraine. For you, how it's attractive for you? Why it's attractive for you?
Well, I have always been interested in politics. But I never worked professionally in politics. Never, but I did study some political science, some economics, long time ago. But my professional career has been in another field, or cultural field. But Ukraine has catched my attention, particularly starting with Maidan.
I see. Second one, right? In 2014.
It's an important subject, not only for Ukraine, but it's front line between civilization and Putinist, fascist barbary, as I not very academically put it sometimes.
I agree, this regime in Moscow is dangerous and authoritarian, let's say, but with some, definitely it has taste of a corporative state. A corporative state and fascism, it's basically the same, right?
Yeah.
State like corporation. Yeah. Like, you know, this prominent American politician McCain said it's a gas station run by mafia. So it's definitely corporate state, and but we won't talk about Russia today. I'll try to talk to you, Harold, about Ukraine. So you commented that you liked a couple of my topics at my Facebook page. Thank you. And you added some comment, tweet comment at particularly one subject, which is very interesting to me. It's a Bloomberg article where someone... journalist from Bloomberg, saying that Slovakia and Ukraine election populists aren't like the others. This is what Bloomberg says. He says that in Slovakia and in Ukraine, two populists, more or less populists, have been elected recently, and they are not anti-Western, anti-NATO populists. They are not nationalistic populists. They are pro-European populists. And this is very interesting point of view, that what happening today in Ukraine, and probably happened a couple weeks ago in Slovakia, that those new presidents in those two Eastern European countries, Slovakia is rather Eastern European, I think, someone can call it Central European, but I've been to Slovakia a year ago, it's really Eastern European. So new pro-Western wave coming from East, and this is really what United Europe need, I think. And article that says about the same. And you liked you liked this article at my Facebook page, adding something from Jasmine Mojanovic. I don't know who's.
To be honest, I didn't take time to read your article you posted, but when I saw the title, it reminded me of a tweet which I have kept for some months.
Jasmine,
I haven't.
Absolutely, yeah. And you were exactly to the point. Exactly to the point, Harold.
Evident for me. That's why your post made me remember it. Yeah, of course.
So what is Jasmine Mojanovic says? You quoting him? I've been arguing for a while that we are headed for a period in which the defense of so-called Western values will have to be the project of those who actually understand and have experienced the alternatives, namely non-Westerns. So this Jasmine, I believe he is a politician because he in Twitter he has an authorized account, right? So I think he is a Central European, probably by his last name, Mujanovic, which probably Croatian or Serbian.
He's more a scholar than a politician, if I remember correctly, but I'm not totally sure. But that's not important. What is important is what he's saying, of course, which is very interesting.
All right. So this Mojanovic says real protectors of Western values will come from East because they experienced the other side. And this is explains so much what's happening in Ukraine and many other Eastern European countries. We experience this stuff, left-wing totalitarian countries like communism, right? That's why we are fighting so hard and ready to fight, like in Ukraine in 2014, because we know what alternative is. Look, we are not happy. I mean, the West is critical. And this critics goes toward capitalism, the liberal economy, politcorrectness very often. And they are so easy to criticize this to extent that they started electing in Italy, in Hungary, in Poland. They started electing politicians which say, hey, hold on, we have to go back to our roots, be great again, and conservative values. On top of this, in France, very nationalistic politician, in Austria, very nationalistic, in Finland now, true Finns, also nationalist, and they think that they playing with past is kind of cool and makes sense. But us, from East, like in Slovakia, in Ukraine, we know that past is not really cool, not only to us, but to all Europe it was not so cool. Because, you know, Ukraine lost 9 million in Second World War. And Ukraine was totally occupied, like all Europe, by Nazis, right? And we know that playing with past is dangerous. We know it better than maybe all democracies, like France. They also experienced horrible time in 40s, but they were in free world since 50s. We are in free world since 90s. 40 years we were still in totalitarian world, so we remember it better. And this Mojanovic, who is probably Serbian or Croatian, he knows it. So, and he highlighted it. Right.
I think I wrote it already 4 or 5 years ago in discussion. Something like Ukraine may teach a good lesson of democracy and reform, revitalization of the democracy for the whole of Europe.
True.
So,
Ukraine. Yeah. I will add, Ukraine has a lot to learn still. But
when it comes to learn from each other,
But when it comes to defending Western values, Ukraine here is a good example because Ukrainians dying right now, as we speak, like approximately one serviceman in 1-2 days. Yeah. And you said it in opening. Your opening statement that Ukraine is in front line now, and we are unexpectedly for Kremlin fighting back. They have very bad analytics in Kremlin, I believe. So they thought when they push Ukraine, Ukraine will collapse. Someone made Putin believe in it. But no, they pushed Ukraine, mobilized and started fighting back because it's a different subject, the relation between Russia and Ukraine. It's very complicated. But more than this, now we elected in Ukraine, not we specifically, but all Ukrainians have rights to vote. They elected pro-Western populist. This Zelensky, it's a next step of our discussion. I don't know what you know about him. I have my personal opinion based on knowledge of the language, knowledge of the country, right? He can be called pro-Western populist. He is not very nationalistic. That's why many Ukrainians very anxious, not anxious, but like 25% really like close to hating him because he's not a nationalist at all. And the period in Ukraine is kind of period of war, right? Period which provokes conservatism. And Zelensky is not a conservator, but he's definitely pro-European. He's pro-NATO. And electing him gives Europe and the Western world and Northern America and Japan and everyone who is like leaning toward democracies a big hope that the wave from East, pro-Western wave from East will balance somehow this wave in Britain with Brexit, in Hungary, in England now, anti-European wave. So, yeah, this is a subject, right?
I think it's quite linked to the things you talk about. Is one of my main preoccupations, one of my kind of specialties. I try to promote. I'm not having much success. Don't have many followers, Facebook friends, don't get many likes on the comments I make. But one of the main points I try to make is how the West, as you say it, haven't been, and the tweets say it, haven't been good at protecting the Western values.
Hey, Harold, I also not very popular.
Better protect the Western values, and even more tragic, I think, the West has much of the responsibility for keeping the Kremlin regimes alive from 1917 up to 2019. Mm-hmm. By trade, technology, diplomacy.
Yeah, good point. Mm-hmm.
Stalin, I quote him sometimes, he said 1933, quote, America helped us a lot, end quote. Mm-hmm. I think it's a quote which can be found and verified.
That's true. It's true. Without technical help, supply help, war supply from America, Eastern Front wouldn't succeed at all. But this is a good example of cooperation, but they had more controversial example of cooperation in 30s, before the war, when this Holodomor in Ukraine happened. It was by blind eyes of Americans, blind eyes of Europeans. They they were cooperating in a big scale with the Soviet Union, and they were they knew the people dying in Ukraine, in Kazakhstan, from hunger, and they were closing eyes.
Yeah, it's a tragedy. It was a tragedy, of course. And the New York Times correspondent living with his Russian friend in Moscow, he told lies for 2 years.
Durante,
which, according to some sources, contributed to the president being convinced that he should recognize diplomatically the Soviet Union, which he did in 1933, I think.
Yeah.
But still, when this Holodomor happened, U.S. and Western and German business had been building the cornerstones, pillars of the Soviet economy, industry, more or less since 1917.
You're right, Harold. And returning back to today, Ukraine is shaking now. Like, it's so... because I'm reading news from Ukraine, I'm reading my Facebook, which is like 70% in Ukrainian language and also in Russian language. And Ukraine is like curious about this outcome. They patriotic, they care about Ukraine, and this Zelensky kind of, what is that? And I am more in favor of Zelensky naturally, because for a long time, for the last five years, I was saying Ukraine is pregnant with new quality. It has to be changed, because all the elites, post-Soviet elites, like Mr. Poroshenko, who is actual president, he wants to help Ukraine. He's helping Ukraine, but by his qualities, his age, his brain, his mindset, he cannot even perceive many challenges. He's an old guy. He's older than me. I'm old. What's your age, Harold?
66.
66, almost the same age like me. No, I'm kidding. I'm younger. Harold, what's your impression about Zelensky?
Hard to say.
That's okay. If you
followed it from the sidelines, I was a bit amazed that this businessman and lawyer, but also entertainer, got such popularity. Maybe I try to be an optimistic man. I was thinking it could be a good change, not throwing Poroshenko's achievements away, but building on them and creating more.
Good point. You're absolutely right,
Harold. Ukrainian people hope for also.
You are absolutely right. Good point. He's trying to build up on Poroshenko agenda, but he is less conservative. Suddenly, Poroshenko started be more conservative. He came up with this brilliant idea in historical sense about uniting Ukrainian church, but it's a conservative idea, okay? And on top of this, he didn't propose anything progressive. So it scared many Ukrainians, specifically young Ukrainians. They didn't understand him. He started pushing conservative agenda and Zelensky liberal more, and young people started supporting Zelensky. But you are absolutely right. He is well-educated. He is not just comedian. He is also media professional. He is also media investor. He is a businessman. He is legal millionaire. He made his fortune by his creativity, and he is building on legacy of actual president. You are totally correct. You are more correct than many Ukrainians, Harold. it's a compliment. You are more correct about him. You understand Zelensky better.
Well, it's my hope. Yeah, I can't be sure. Nobody can be sure, but that's my hope. It will work out fine for him, that he will really build on the best achievements of Poroshenko and make them better, continue them, and do better in the fight for reforms, anti-corruption, tribunal, juridical system, and also keeping security up, keeping the cooperation with the Western powers up.
Harold,
but I think also it's a great responsibility on the Western powers. Hope I have a little hope in my heart, in my soul, that the Western powers has directed some tough warnings to Putin to keep away.
Yeah.
Nobody knows, nor ordinary people can't know such things.
Hey,
one thought of mine, yeah.
Harold, I also think Ukraine will do, continuing supporting West and fighting for West, will do good for Norway, because Norway also neighbor of Russia, right? So Ukraine, in a way, fighting your war too. I believe it. I believe in it. Oh, by the way, big respect for your series, occupied, occupied.
You saying Norway was occupied by Nazi Germany from April 1940 to June 1945, yeah?
Right, but I'm talking about modern time. Did you watch occupied TV series? It's a Norwegian movie, Occupied.
I have problems hearing you. Norway.
No. It's a new movie. It's a new movie. It's 2017 movie. Norway made this movie. It's the biggest Norwegian movie for now. Biggest budget. It's a Norwegian movie, Occupied. Did you hear about this?
It's you talk about the TV series.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So
I remember. Yeah.
So did you watch it?
I think I watched, but I missed the last dramatic episode, I think.
Yeah, you missed it a lot, because it's a very good movie.
Yeah, and it did provoke the Russian embassy in Oslo, yeah.
True. So there is two seasons, man. Well, watch both. Both are good. They are so touchy to me as a Ukrainian. And thank you, Norway, for reflecting on this. It's a different way of reflection. How this movie made? It's not like Ukrainians see the war. It's like Norwegians see the war, hybrid war. It's a very important topic. So I just wanted to say you thank you for this movie. It's a very needed movie. So Harold, I think it's enough for first time. It was excellent discussion. Thank you for your time and thank you for readiness to jump into discussion with someone you just met in Facebook 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.